You know, Peter had a problem during his short time with Christ. It seemed like at some of the most important events that had taken place, we find him sleeping. In Luke chapter 9, during Jesus' transfiguration, this is the only place that talks about this portion of it. Peter almost missed the big event because he was asleep. Matthew 26 and verse 38, Jesus had three of his closest disciples with him in the garden. And he simply asked them to watch with me. Peter just couldn't keep his eyes open. And later that same night, Peter had fallen into a different kind of sleep. And sometimes it is that kind of sleep that we find ourselves falling into. You know, the Bible pictures men at times drifting off into a comfortable sleep of sin. Paul in Romans 13 in the first in verses 11 and 12, he said, "In what? Knowing the time, now is the time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." But this night, at a critical junction for his Savior, Peter went into a spiritual sleep. He let his guard down. I guess you could say, if we are talking about armies, he capitulated and he sinned. It was a rude awakening from a rooster that brought Peter back from his spiritual stupor. Matthew 26 and verse 34, we find Jesus predicting this. He said, "This night the cock crow, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times." Before he said this, he told Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Now don't forget these last parts. "And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Encouragement from a rooster. Of all of God's creatures, the one who brought Peter out of his sleep. Roosters have been waking people up for thousands of years. It was this night that that rooster jarred Peter's psyche that had been dormant in the previous hours. As Christians, it would be beneficial to us to imitate this bird. This rooster did what he could. Now, I'm sure the rooster wasn't even looking at Peter when he crowed. He probably didn't even see what was going on. But he crowed at the appropriate time. He did what he could do. This rooster had used his talents as he did every day. And we should also use ours. As Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, he said, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers." I don't think this rooster went away with his head hanging down. Certainly his crowing didn't embarrass him. He was doing what he always does. And neither should we be ashamed. For even Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." This rooster was faithful. This rooster was dependable. He crowed when he was supposed to. But what if he didn't do his duty that day? What if he remained silent? If I'd have been the rooster, I might have thought, well, I think I'm going to sleep in today. How would the history of the world read today? What would our Bibles have to say? As Paul taught in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. The rooster did his job, even though others disapprove. I'm sure that if Vicki and I, in our development, if we were to get some chickens and bring a rooster in, we'd be run out on a rail with tar and feathers after about a week of that rooster crowing at daybreak. The rooster did his job, even though others may have disapproved. You know, waking up people is not a way to make yourself popular. Ask a parent of teenagers on a school day. Basic training, one of the things, if one of the drill instructors could not get a guy awake and slept through reveille, he didn't go up and shake his shoulder and say, wakey, wakey. He kicked the bed because he knew the response he may get. And they told us that was the only legal way we could get away with hitting a T.I. Jesus in John 16 and verse 1, he said, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. And Jesus was unpopular because he offended so many people, but he was also popular because people saw what he was doing. Still again, there were those who disagreed and considered him a canker. And one thing this rooster did, it made Peter recognize where he was. Peter had denied the Lord three times before men, and he knew full well Jesus' teachings about denial. Whosoever, Jesus says in Matthew 10:33, shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but maybe those words stuck in Peter's mind when he denied him and was reminded of that denial. I wonder if the last words of the scripture that I read in Luke 9 crossed Peter's mind. When thou art converted, strengthen my brethren. These verses implied that Peter would fall, and that he would need a conversion a second time. And it's at this point that Peter needed to make a U-turn. And it's the same with each of us. When we drift into sin, we need a wake-up call. Maybe it can come from a sermon, maybe something as Nathan's, the story that Nathan told David about the rich man that took the poor man's sheep for the sacrifice. And it woke David up in realizing that he took a Hittite's wife to be his own. It woke him up in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13. Maybe that wake-up call is from a friend's loving words during a difficult circumstance. Maybe our conscience in some way, shape, or form has been pricked. Or maybe it is just the consequences of sin catching up to us. Or it could even be the fear of punishment. But whatever that wake-up call comes from, listen to the rooster. There's another idea that we can get from this rooster. That it caused Peter to realize that Jesus is still in control. You know, for Peter and the rest of the disciples, especially the ones that were in the garden that fled, to them it seemed that Satan was holding all of the cards, that he had the upper hand, that Jesus at this point was arrested, that he was going to be crucified. Peter had given in to sin, and he denied the Lord three times. The other disciples had forsaken and fled. No one took up for the Master. It was dark. Just as Genesis 3, verse 15 says, Satan had bruised the heel of Jesus. But at that time, it probably seemed more as if he had destroyed the hope of the world. However, the rooster continued and crowed anyway. Even though Jesus was a prisoner, that he was bound, that he was seemingly helpless before his captors. But you know, when that cock crowed, Jesus looked at Peter. Jesus was still in control. Jesus had a plan. He had predicted all this. You don't predict things and not have a plan. You know what's coming. Jesus has always been, in his life, in control of every situation he was in. Peter witnessed firsthand his authority over fish and winds and fishes and waves, disease, death. He witnessed all that. No matter how dark this hour had become, Peter now realized Jesus was still in control. We fret about the things that we face in this life. We fret and worry about the direction our nation in this world is heading into. But it should be some comfort to us to know that God and Christ are still in control. When we turn on our TV sets or we open up our newspapers and we're looking at the news, we cannot help but think that Satan has got full control over everything that's going on. But let me remind you that Jesus Christ is still King of Kings. Sin may win the day, but the battle belongs to the Lord. This crowing that woke Peter up ushered in a new day. And this is what typically the rooster crowing in the morning does anyway. The sound that rung in Peter's ears assured him that he could be forgiven. Because it was in Luke 22, verse 32, that Jesus not only foretold his fall, but also his restoration. And in this whole thing, we can understand and learn the power of godly sorrow. Now, you don't have to follow along because I'm going to bounce from Scripture to Scripture to use an idea of the different words that each of the Gospels account of it is. But I'd like to piece together a full account of the restoration of Peter. Mark 14 and verse 72, it says, "And straightway," in Luke 22, they use the word "immediately." "While he yet spake the second time the cock crowed," Mark 14, "and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter," Luke 22 and verse 16. "And Peter remembered," Mark 14. "Called to mind the word of the Lord," in Luke 22, "which Jesus has said," Matthew 26. "Now that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice," Mark 14 verse 30, "this day thou shalt deny me thrice," Luke 22. Luke 22, 62 says, "And he went out, and when he thought thereon, he wept," Mark 14, "bitterly," Luke 22. repentance, godly sorrow. This was Peter. When you look at the simple facts, there's very little difference between Peter and Judas. They both sinned. Peter denied Jesus through cowardice, and Judas betrayed Jesus because of greed. But you know, it wasn't a new day for Judas, but it was a new day for Peter. The difference being that Peter repented and wept. Psalms 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, thou wilt not despise. According to Matthew 27, verses 3 through 5, Judas, while he regretted, he hanged himself. He didn't weep. There was no brokenness in his heart. The only thing Judas was sorry about was anything that was worldly. Can you imagine all he did for 30 pieces of silver, which was 15 bucks? That's it. $15. You can't take that today and go out and buy a decent meal. Peter turned back from the brink of despair, and Judas plunged headlong into it. Despite that denial, Jesus did not give up on Peter. Mark 16 and verse 7, on the morning of Jesus' resurrection, the angel had sent a message to encourage Peter. And the angel said in this verse, go tell his disciples and Peter. Specifically, setting him out ahead of the others, singling him. You can imagine that day, that night, what was going through Peter's mind. Being crushed with grief and shame, maybe not even thinking of himself as a disciple anymore. And we can see the importance here of this angel singling him out by name. But another lesson that can come from all of this is that failure is not necessarily final. Jesus is not finished with Peter just yet. John 21 and verses 15 through 17, we can read there how Peter three times confessed his love for Christ. That matched the three denials that he made in denying Christ. The keys that Jesus was giving to him in Matthew 16 and verse 19 was now once again placed in Peter's hands. The keys to the kingdom. He was given the singular privilege of opening the doors of the church to both the Jews and the Gentiles. And if you would read Peter's letters, you could see that penitence is one of the main themes in his letter. You know, Luke 13 and verses 6 through 9, we see the parable of the fig tree. It was planted, and while it was growing, it wasn't producing fruit. And after 3 years, the master said, I want this tree cut down. But the servant said, wait, master, give me some more time. I will take care of it. And he dug around the tree and he filled it with dung and he took care of that tree. And the following year it produced fruit. This is a second chance for the fig tree, and you and I get second chances all the time. Zacchaeus was given a second chance in Luke 19. Mark was given second chances in Acts 13 and in 2 Timothy. God is infinitely kind to us, especially those of us who rise and fall and rise again. The door of repentance is left open for everyone. And through Peter's experiences, he was able to write about God's long-suffering in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. But what else did that crowing do to Peter? It told him that it was now time to get to work. In times past, the rooster was the only functioning alarm clock. He told us when it was time to get up and when the day's work was done, and to get the day's work done. He was telling Peter to get up and get to work. But what was his assignment? As far as Peter was concerned at this point, he was leaderless. But Jesus would tell him what his assignment was. Luke 22, verse 32, he said, "Strengthen the brethren." In John 12, verses 15 through 17, he kept saying, "Feed my sheep." You know, it's as if Jesus was saying to him, "You will deny me, you will weep bitter tears, but the result will be that you will be better able to help your brothers who are going through difficult times." And if you study Peter at all, you will see that Peter was one of the most helpful men in the New Testament. You know, there were some commentaries, if you read about Mark's account, they attribute it to Peter's sermons, his preaching that he did. And there's a lot of it in there. Peter, because Mark had included this account, Peter was telling him, "I hurt him and I let him down. And he still loved me. He still forgave me. And he can do the same for you." Peter did not walk away and wallow in his sorrows. He picked up the pieces of his life and he started over. He dared to begin again. He refused to stay down. And I'm sure that things were not easy for him. I'm sure there was many people that was constantly reminding him, "Well, you're the one that denied him." I'm sure maybe even some of the other disciples were sitting there and saying, "Well, we ran away. We were scared." But in spite of his denials, he was fundamentally loyal. And what we need to remember is that Peter's heart was in the right place. No matter what he did, no matter how terrible his failure was, he was nonetheless passionately devoted to his master. In that early morning hours, that rooster never knew what he accomplished. I hope each and every day we hear a rooster crowing in our minds. I hope we're listening for it. Because, my friends, it's time that we step away from our failures and move on to greater things, just as Peter did. That we can sit back and we can wallow in our sufferings and our pain and sorrows. Or we can pick ourselves up and move on to greater things. Life will never be easy, but the heart of the Master, the heart of God, is continually on us, with us. We will never, ever be left to defend ourselves we will be never be left to live in this world alone because of Him. We only have to listen to the crowing. There's anyone here this evening who has not obeyed the gospel? Well, I hope you hear the crowing. Don't deny Him. Embrace Him. Repent and confess and have your sins washed away. You know, it's always a comfort knowing that when we're in the ring of life and battling for our very souls, that we have someone in our corner, Jesus Christ. When that day ends, when time shall be no more, we will have an advocate for our Father. And I know we all want to hear those words. When God asks about us, that Jesus says, He's one of mine. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, whether it is to put your Lord and Savior on in baptism or to make things right and repent of the things that you've been doing, get back in the good graces of God. If anyone has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?